Developing Perspective. Developing Perspective is a podcast discussing news of note and iOS development, Apple, and the like. I'm your host, David Smith. I'm an independent iOS and Mac developer based in Herndon, Virginia. This is show number 118, and today is Tuesday, April 9th. Developing Perspective is never longer than 15 minutes, so let's get started. All right, so it's been quite a week for me so far, and it's only sort of Tuesday. So what I'm going to talk about a little bit this week is kind of the approach I'm taking and kind of there's a little bit of it that's crazy, some of the things that I've been doing, and kind of why I'm doing what I'm doing. So first off, I'm going to talk about kind of this week. And it was just one of those strange things where a whole variety of things kind of lined up so that I was essentially going to have three major deliveries that I was going to try and do this week. First one I did yesterday, I launched Check the Weather 1.4, which changed the weather backend and did a few other things. And it's a significant update, but not a major update, probably, I'd say. Tuesday, I launched my Recipe Book 3.0, which is an app I've been working on for years. It's been quite a while in making to try and get, sort of decide how I was going to do sync, to decide how I was going to do pricing and all kinds of things, which I'll talk about in a little bit. And hopefully, actually, my goal is on Friday to submit Feed Wrangler's iOS app to the store, which is turning out to be, we'll see. I think it's still probably doable, but if it turns out, those will have been three kind of crazy things to all do in 1 week. And so, early on Monday morning, I was thinking, and I was like, is this wise? Am I taking on too much? Am I doing something that's kind of foolish by trying to do all these things? And really, the reality I found was, I always find it's the helpful thing to think about of, what's the worst that can happen? What's the biggest downside? And is it any different than the downsides of doing things individually? And in this case, I really didn't think that the downsides were that different by doing it all together, that it was kind of nice to be sort of a bit audacious, a bit ambitious, and to try and do all these things at once, because really all of them benefit from being out into the wild sooner and earlier. Things like sync, where there's problems and issues and things, it's the longer that I can be fixing them, the sooner that'll be the case, and the sooner I can then kind of settle that down and tie it in a bow. And similarly with Check the Weather, it's like I could have held off on the update until next week, but it only sort of helps in that I'm still, the same issues are still going to be there for the most part. And so in the end, I was deciding, let's be audacious. And I think it's just, as an encouragement to anyone out there, it's don't worry too much about overdoing it necessarily. That you want to be careful, obviously, but if you trust yourself and you know your skills, you can kind of understand what are appropriate risks for you to take. All right, so the next thing I'm going to talk about is the My Recipe Book launch, and a little bit about My Recipe Book more generally. So My Recipe Book is a recipe manager, fairly straightforward in that sense. It's a place that you can collect, organize, catalog your recipes. You can put there's a grocery list, those types of things. And the app's been around for about 3 years, and it's, until now, has always been a standalone iPad application. It's been something that is just, that's the way it always was. I built it that way, and it always sort of just made sense that way. Because in order for it to work on, to be universal, to be cross-platform, all those types of things, the recipes have to sync somehow. They have to be able to go up back and forth between the server. So if you make a change, you input a recipe on your iPad, it shows up on your iPhone. And that was always a little intimidating because obviously that's a fairly complicated problem. Sync is always complicated. It's never there is no easy sync. And so at first I tried a couple of things myself. iCloud came out. I tried that. None of those things had been quite right until I took a step back and said, okay, really, what am I trying to do here? And I just really methodically worked it through for a couple of weeks, and I was able to get to a point that this works. And I spent a couple of months testing and trying it out and playing with it and doing all kinds of things in the hopes of sort of stabilizing it. Though I will say, sync is the kind of thing that's impossible to fully test until you deploy. I don't think there's any reasonable way, even with a large beta group, that you'll find all the bugs. There are just all kinds of subtle and nuanced things, things that relate to the nature of the user's data. For example, like it's a recipe manager, it depends a lot on how many recipes people have. And some people have quite a lot of recipes. I've found several users who have several thousand recipes, which I had test data sets that were that large, but I never really thought that would be a realistic use case. And turns out that is a realistic use case. So maybe my test data needs to be even bigger to account for that as an edge case. And also what I also want to talk about is a little bit the way I took my sync. I've had a lot of questions about if I use iCloud, how I use iCloud, those types of things. I ended up using iCloud for a component of my sink. And what I ended up trying to do is try to be very pragmatic and look at it and say, what does iCloud do that it can do? And what could what are things that it potentially doesn't do as well? So first, what are some of the things that it can do? And on an iPhone, the simplest version of that is it provides an avenue for ubiquitous login and user identity. And when you have an app with an iCloud account, when they open that app, immediately available is who that person is, to some approximation. And so what I started doing is, I'm going to sync the user-related profile information using iCloud to improve my user experience. I'm going to look at it and say, hey, if I put user information in the key value store, which is very reliable in my experience, I can create a great login experience. They open up the iPad, it says, hey, my RSVBook 3.0 just launched, would you like to sync? They hit yes, it does, sends it off to the cloud. They open up their iPhone and say, you go to the App Store, get the app, open it up, and it says, hey, I noticed that you also have an iCloud, you've already sunk with this account, would you like me to use this data? They say yes, off it goes. And that is a really nice experience that you can only provide with something like iCloud, where it knows, this meta information about who this person is and about the devices that they have. And then I take that, all the hard part of the sink, the recipes and grocery lists and those types of things, and I move that into my own cloud storage. And that isn't just because of all the things you hear about with iCloud core data syncing being complicated. I tried a variety of different solutions and platforms. I tried Imperium Sync for a while. I tried, all kinds of different approaches. And in the end, what I kept coming down to is I wanted to own the sync, not necessarily because that makes my life easier, but because that makes my product better. Let me unpack that a little bit. Any time that you take something as sort of crucial as sync and put it into a third party's hands, whether that could be anything, it can be iCloud, it can be Imperium, it could be Windows Azure Services, it could be I think there's a new thing with that Matt Thompson released as part of his sort of AF incremental store backend. There's all kinds of things, approaches you can take. Anytime you do that, the difficulty you run into is how easily, if at all possible, is it for you to fix problems, bugs, inevitable things that will come up? And usually, whenever I was looking at most of these solutions, the tricky part is a lot of it's a black box. You take this data and you put it in there and you hope it works, which if it works is great, but it's never going to work 100%. You have to kind of assume that it can do work a lot of the time, but it's never going to quite be 100%. So what do you do in the weird edge cases? What do you do in the cases where the user has some strange configuration, some strange thing, weird connectivity, running through a weird proxy that is messing with the data? What do you do in that case? And a lot of times the answer for a lot of the platforms I looked at were, there's not really that much you can do. You can ask them to resync maybe. You can hope it's not destructive. But the reality is, what I love is over the last 2 days, I've been able to go into the database, go into the app. I can look at exactly what's going on. I can go through the server logs. I can replay stuff. I can look at it and be like, okay, this is the problem. Here's the thing that I need to fix. And the reality is, I think that makes my product a lot better. It makes makes my customer experience a lot better. For example, I had a customer who there's a particular data corruption bug that was pretty subtle and kind of worked its way in. And I was able to go into his account, look in the database, tweak a few records, a couple of things that were wrong, and then I can send him an email and say, hey, your account's fixed. Next time you open the app, it'll be working fine. And that's just awesome to be able to kind of reach into their life and do that for them. And so I highly recommend, at the end of the day, it's a hard thing to say if someone says, oh, I've been thinking of doing my own, what should I use? It's like, well, I can say that I can build my own because I'm an experienced Rails developer. Before I did iPhone development, I was a full-time professional consultant doing Rails work. I sort of knew my way around that world. And it's a hard thing to learn. I'm not saying it's impossible. But the reality is you want to kind of work your way up. And if maybe you just tackle problems at an easier level, if that's something that's above you. But it's really complicated if you're taking your core business value and putting it in someone else's hands. It's just something I get very nervous about. And as I've gone through this, that's kind of where I settled on it. One thing I did about the launch that I thought was also interesting, worth mentioning, is I did what I call a soft launch, in the sense that I released the app to the update to the store before I started publicizing it, before I had people in the press talk about it. With the hope that I can kind of gradually work out, A, does my server infrastructure scale? And B, does my server architecture, does my sync, does all these little different components, do they actually work? Do they actually going to do what I think they should do? And it was kind of fun when I hit update, release to the store, and then I can go into my server logs, I can tail all the production logs, and I can look in it and say, and just watch the first user, create an account and log in and make sure everything works. And then, say there's two people and there's three people. And this kind of gradually building process is great to making sure that everything worked. In the end, I'd say it just kind of worked out really well. My server infrastructure that I was kind of building, I think I've talked about a couple of times, where I have a couple of Linodes arranged with, running Rails servers with a Postgres back end and a load balance from the front, ended up working great. And the experience I had, which I think I'd mentioned also, where I had practiced building up and tearing down servers, was also really helpful, because I found that I had my original configuration had two front ends, and it looked like I needed three. I was able to, in about 10, 15 minutes, spin up a new server, deploy it, sort of go through the sort of checklist. And in the end, it was, worked flawlessly. And it's been great, working ever since. And so that kind of a soft launch can, I think, be really effective if you can allow yourself to do that. One way to do that, even if you're launching a new app that you can kind of think about, is to set the app to release the night before you're expecting any kind of, sort of the big hit, the big publicity, the big promotion. You can, release it the night before and kind of sort of trickle it out, maybe reach out to a few friends, kind of see if you can build a little bit of actual production experience without actually having to sort of push it out and then have this big sort of stampede of people working on your app, hopefully. It sort of avoids a bit of the problem, if you think about it, like the mailbox or these apps that have been having to take strange tactics to avoid scaling problems. One of the things that I think about is how it's just like trying to sort of slowly turn the faucet on would be a great way to do it. And so that's something that I tried. It seemed to work, and I'm pretty happy with. So where does that put me now? The next thing that I'm working on then is Feed Wrangler, to turn that around and to hopefully ship three things in a week. And Feed Wrangler is going well. It's getting pretty close. And what I actually really liked about the timing of this is I've been able to prove and verify my server infrastructure approach under a fairly reasonable load with my recipe book, that I can now just immediately take that information. I've learned a whole bunch of lessons. There were some free, even the simple examples are some of the things that I wasn't indexing some of my data correctly in the database. And I've found these performance bottlenecks immediately when it's, when you have thousands of people hitting it all at once, they become much more apparent than when it's just you and your test data from there's only so many concurrent connections that you can really simulate. And so when I started using this real data, it's like, oh, here's some indexes I'm missing. Here's some things I need to tweak. I'll go into Postgres, do those changes, and then it's awesome. I use New Relic RPM server monitoring, which gives you essentially throughput, request per minute, response time, error rate, those types of information for a Rails app. I think it can work for a variety of servers, but I use it. I'm not necessarily keep it in the long run. It's something that I tend to use targetedly, because anytime you instrument your app and do a lot of monitoring, there's going to be a performance hit that you're taking as a result. But right up front, it's always great because it helps you quickly identify these bottlenecks that you can then very quickly attack. I think I posted a chart on app.net. There was this crazy chart call where I was able to take the average response time and cut it into about a third of what it was before, just by adding a few key indexes to the database. And anytime you can do those kind of wins, it's just kind of amazing, because it feels like black magic. It's like what you had before, was working. It was, correct. You add a little bit of something to it, and then all of a sudden it works so much better. And so that was kind of exciting to see, and to be able to kind of experience in a production environment, and to know that was improving customers' interactions immediately. And so that's kind of where I am. It's been kind of a crazy week. I know I've gotten a lot of questions, and I'm not sure I answered them all. It's been a kind of crazy in terms of stress and worry too. So it's just kind of, if I didn't answer a question that you had about kind of these launches I've been doing, just the best place is probably going to be email me, david@developingperspective.com, and I can try loop back on another show just to make sure I hit them all. But otherwise, it's busy week, exciting, lots of fun stuff, and I really appreciate you listening to the show. So that's it. As always, questions, comments, concerns, I'm on Twitter @_DavidSmith, appnet @DavidSmith, david@developingperspective.com. Thanks, happy coding, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.